Thank you to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode.
What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
Ginger Getz is a mother, graphic designer, and co-victim of murder from Kentucky. Since the 2015 murder of her mother and the consequent legal battle to keep her sister imprisoned for the crime, Ginger has made it her life mission to bring awareness to intrafamilial murder and child-to-parent violence. In just over a decade, she has shared her and her mother's story on many different platforms, including television's Evil Lives Here, Deadly Women, Snapped, and more. She does so to honor her mother, Carlene, and to help others who may be navigating similar violence. The Broken Cycle Media team is deeply grateful for Ginger's time, energy, and her shared mission in grief. These episodes are dedicated in loving memory of Carlene Conley.
My name is Ginger Getz. I live outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in northern Kentucky. I am married and the mom to three kids. My husband would say that I am the strongest person that he knows, but I really don't agree. I feel like I am still very much working on trying to heal myself every day, and I'm trying to be a better person. Because I figure if everybody can just try a little harder to be a better person, that maybe we'll actually make an impact on this crazy world that we all live in. My parents were college sweethearts and had my older sister. And then 5 years later, I came along. And then my younger sister, Paige, came along about 7.5 years later. My older sister was very much the rebel. And she was the one who was going to break every rule that my parents could put forth. And then my younger sister was the baby, the one everybody dotes on. And as the middle child, I am the one who is supposed to watch what my older sibling is doing and not do that, and try to set a better example for my younger sibling. As the middle child, you feel like you're the reliable one, the one that everybody knows will take care of things. And I feel like that's very much who I always was, even as a small kid. I was the one who would make sure that if dinner was being made, that the table was set, even though I wasn't asked. I would be the one who would always make sure that my clothes were put away. We had a really good childhood. We had plenty to eat, plenty to wear. My dad was an executive for a long time, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She enjoyed having the three of us spread out because I think she felt like she got to spend more time with each of us before the next one went to school. My mom was a super creative, artsy person. She could sing, she could draw, she could paint. I wanted to be an artist just like my mom. So that was my dream growing up. Had a really, really great art teacher in high school that really touched on everything and helped me to explore what might be next. Mom being a stay-at-home mom, we were always able to do things that a lot of kids aren't able to do. We were able to play sports because she could get us there for practices. She was a Girl Scout leader for me for a number of years. She was very, very involved in school PTA and helping to plan the things that they would do for the kids at school. I remember doing movie days after school once a month, and they would play a Disney film, and we would all just sit on the floor in the gym, and they'd put the big projector up. Mom would be in the back making Kool-Aid and popcorn to pass out. She was really, really involved, I feel, in our lives. Dad was a little removed, mostly because he just was so busy with work, and he was a workaholic. He just was climbing the corporate ladder and trying to make as much money and impact as he could so that we were able to have a good life. Mom was a stay-at-home mom until we got into where I was in high school and Paige was middle elementary age. Mom ended up taking a job so that she could pay for private school for us to go to. She worked at the University of Cincinnati in the College Conservatory of Music. She was a business manager, and she loved it because she loved being around all these creative kids all day, every day. She sang herself, which she loved to share with the people who were coming up in the next generation. I think she enjoyed knowing that all these future musicians and singers and songwriters were all blooming around where she was all day. From the time Paige was maybe 9, she was kind of a latchkey kid. I drove us to school, and if I didn't have to stay for softball or something, I drove her home. Otherwise, she got off the bus with her key and came home by herself. Mom's mother had moved up to be close by in a nursing home. She had Alzheimer's, and Mom spent as much time as she could going to see her mother, making sure she was taken care of, trying to get her to eat. Also during this time, Paige, it was discovered that she had scoliosis. They did the checks back then in gym, and they'd have you bend over and they'd check your spine to see if it curved and that sort of thing. Hers curved pretty badly. And so my parents had to take her to a doctor, and they decided they were going to do surgery on her. They thought it was the best way that they could fix Paige's back so that it wouldn't have long-term issues with it. And so she's going into surgery. They're going to be putting metal rods in her back to make it so that it's able to make her stand up straighter and not have a lot of curvature and issues with her back hurting all the time. And then Mom, of course, is torn between spending as much time with her mother as she can and spending as much time with Paige as she can, because Paige is going to a lot of doctor's appointments. She's going to have a brace fit. My dad just sort of checked out about that time. He had so much stress with his job. He was stressed out about what was going on with Paige. He was stressed out because my mom was spending too much time, he felt, at the nursing home with my grandmother. He started looking elsewhere for companionship, and he found himself a girlfriend, started an affair with her that lasted a number of years. So he wouldn't come home right after work. So Mom wasn't coming right home after work. So Paige was alone. I think there was a lot of disconnect from all three parties. My mom is scared to death about her child, what could potentially happen with this surgery on Paige's back. She's scared to death what's happening with her mother, and her mother's doing worse and worse. And of course, she's scared to death because my dad is not supporting her, and he's not really her friend anymore, not to mention her husband. I feel like she felt very adrift, like she didn't know what she was supposed to do, because she can't be there for everyone 24/7, and she's trying to be all things to all people, and she's doomed to fail. I was no longer living at home. I had an apartment with a friend. I was working. I was pretty removed from a lot of just daily living. When my parents officially divorced in 95, Paige decided that she wanted to stay with Mom because by that point, we all knew that Dad had another girlfriend. So Paige decided that she would stay with Mom. There was no real custody agreement other than maybe once a month or something when Dad would spend time with her. So he's removed himself from Mom and now Paige. My mom, I think, broke a little when my gran passed away. Her mother was her idol. So at this point, we're all still grieving my grandmother. We still have to get through Paige having her surgery. Paige had her surgery, which was successful, but did unfortunately make it so that she needed to be at home and be in bed for months at end. She had to have somebody basically with her at all times. So Mom had to kind of try to take a little bit of a leave of absence in order to take care of Paige after surgery. She wasn't able to go to school and has been basically bedbound, has had to have tutors and things like that come to the house to keep her on track with learning. She didn't have too much trouble, I don't think, because she was always a really, really whip-smart kid. They, of course, had sold the house that they had purchased together a few years earlier. Mom ended up purchasing a condo with her share of the proceeds. Paige is living in the condo with Mom. Mom has her set up in the basement where Paige has more space. Paige got better. She started to get out a little bit more. And Mom has finished up her break from work trying to help Paige get better and has now been back at work full time for a bit. Paige is about sophomore, junior in high school. Mom has her at private school still. Paige is starting to venture out a little bit more. She gets a job at the grocery store bagging. It's at the grocery she meets some kids. These are kids who are drifting through life, who drink a lot, do a lot of drugs, and she wholeheartedly jumps in and spends all of her time with these kids.
Thank you again to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. When we were kids, summer meant freedom. No homework, no teachers, no school. And as adults, summer still means freedom thanks to Mint Mobile's summer sale. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. For my family specifically, Mint Mobile has meant freedom and ease. When my eldest got their first phone, Mint Mobile was the perfect solution for us. It was easy to sign up for, had no hidden or surprise fees, and the reception was even better than my cell coverage. That's because Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right with premium wireless for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/WCN. That's mintmobile.com/WCN. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/WCN. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabytes hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Paige drops out of high school because she just doesn't show up and basically she's told to leave. She's got her first boyfriend out of this job. He is not a good character. He is abusive to Paige. I think he got her hooked on a number of different drugs. He certainly had her drinking to excess all the time. So these kids are all kind of running wild and hang out at Mom's house quite a bit. Mom starts to get some trouble from her neighbors because these kids are always over there and they're always partying. The neighbors will call the cops will come. She can't control Paige. She certainly can't control those other kids. And I think she knows that she can't rely on my dad to step in and parent because he's just kind of walked away from that whole job altogether. She's working really hard. She's still grieving the loss of her own mother. She's grieving the loss of her friend who was my dad. She's grieving her loss of her marriage. And now she's got a kid that she cannot control. She's lost. And I could see it in her face every time I'd see her for dinner or have her over or I'd come over there. She just was bereft about everything. I know that she went to her doctor and was put on antidepressant medication. And those things, of course, help, but only so far, especially when you're living with a person who has now started to make your life even worse than what it had become. Paige and her boyfriend are fighting all the time in the basement. She's 16, 17. At this point, the not-so-great boyfriend has moved in. My mother, I wouldn't say allowed it, but was never asked. He just came up and stayed and never left. He's a pretty hardcore druggie. He's doing heroin and things like that in my mom's basement. It's about this time, and I find this out much later, of course, that Paige has now started turning around and abusing my mother, hitting her. All of the abuse has come through Paige like a funnel because she knew that my mom would not do anything to put Paige in any kind of jeopardy with the law. Then finally, I think my mother just begged my father to step in, and he and my mother sent Paige to a Catholic boarding school. She was supposed to wear a uniform, fall in line. Of course, Paige being Paige, she managed to get herself expelled from there as well. The nuns call my parents and ask them to please come pick up Paige because now she's kicked out of there. It's at a point where I think my parents just don't know what to do with Paige, but they know that something has to change in her life because she's just spiraling. Paige, of course, is very, very angry with both of my parents. In particular, though, very mad with my father. I really believe that she felt like my father left her. So Paige decided she and her friends are going to go on a road trip. And so they take the vehicle that my father has allowed her to use to go to work and supposed to be going to school in. And she and her boyfriend decide to go out to Lake Tahoe. Paige breaks into my dad's apartment. They take all the alcohol. It's four or five kids and they're on the road. My dad finds out about it from my mom. He decides that he is going to declare that the car has been stolen, because that's one way to just kind of put an end to Paige gallivanting across the U.S. They are pulled over in Colorado. All the kids are taken to jail because the car is stolen and they are all in it and they're all underage. Paige is not quite 18 yet at this point. And so my dad decides that he's going to let Paige stew in jail over the weekend and he'll show up and go to court with her on Monday morning. He flies out there, and when they get in front of the judge, he's hoping that the judge is going to throw the book at her, but he, of course, can't do a whole lot because she's underage and there's not much that they can really do. I feel like it had the potential to be a really good learning opportunity. I don't know what happened to the other kids, but they all ended up getting home somehow. And then my father and Paige drove back in the old Honda Accord that she was lent. I'm sure that they had probably 18 hours of him basically giving her the third degree the whole time, which of course solidified Paige not wanting anything to do with him now. I think a lot of Paige's behavior changed after coming back from Colorado. The boyfriend, of course, is now completely out of the picture, thank God. It's back to Mom and Paige, and only the two of them have each other at this point. Mom feels adrift is the word I keep coming back to, because she's trying to find a life outside of just Paige. She's trying to start over anew with her as a single person now. She's trying out different churches. She's trying to make new friends. Every time something somewhat positive starts to go on in Mom's life, Paige does something in order to destroy that. Whether it's calling Mom at work all the time and Mom feeling like she has to go and rescue Paige, so therefore she leaves work early, and then she gets written up because she's leaving work early again. Paige has now been kicked out of two different high schools, so she goes and she gets her GED. In the fall, she applies at University of Cincinnati, where my mom works, because they get tuition remission. So being the child of a person who works there, they get free classes and things like that. So she starts to make some different friends. There comes a time when Paige throws another wild party, and this time the neighbors get the homeowners association involved, and Mom is invited to leave the neighborhood, so she has to find somewhere else to live. At this point, I've gotten married and I'm expecting my first kiddo, and Mom decides she wants to live not far from me and from her grandbaby. She buys a house probably 5 minutes away from where I'm living. It's three levels. Mom's at the very top level. Then there's the main level where the kitchen, the living room and everything are. And then Paige is once again in the basement where there's a bathroom and a couple finished bedrooms. So there's plenty of space between them. And hopefully that kind of helps to keep things a little more peaceful. So Paige starts going back to classes. She's now in college taking e-media classes, and then she ends up getting a scholarship, which will take her to Germany for a year. So there's nothing as exciting in my world as Paige leaving the country for a whole year. That was a really good point in my relationship with Mom. I got to see my mom a lot more often because she'd pop by after work, because she, of course, just lived 5 minutes up the road, and she'd come over and see the baby and then spend time talking. And she just absolutely adored our oldest daughter and spent as much time with her as she could. And then I got pregnant with my second one. It was a good year. Mom went over to visit Paige for like a week in Germany. Then Paige came home. I do know at this time that she started having more issues with the rods that had been put in her back. She was having a lot more pain. So she started abusing pain medication. Then it was determined that she was going to have another surgery. She does eventually have the second back surgery. Mom, of course, has to take time off from work in order to take care of Paige. I think this is about the time that work decided to tell Mom not to come back. So now Mom is unemployed, Paige is unemployed, and Paige has just had another major back surgery that she's recovering from. Mom has no one she can rely on at this point. I mean, I'm there, but I'm married. I've got two kids. She's looking for work. She gets on with like a temp agency, and they keep her fairly busy. It's not going to be what her job at the university had been. And of course, with Paige having this surgery and Mom losing her job, Paige is no longer covered by the free tuition. So Paige drops out of college. It's just a lot of Paige hanging around the house, going to bars, meeting people, making unsavory friends, bringing home who knows who. Once again, running wild, but now she's an adult, and it's past time for her to stop behaving that way. My husband and I purchase another house. It's a little bit further away. Mom decides not long after that she's going to sell her house and move not far from us again. I think she liked the reassurance of knowing that we were not far away if at any given time she needed us. Mom is still hiding abuse from Paige, not acknowledging it. It's still a secret. Mom and Paige move to another house, once again about 5 minutes up the road from my husband and I and our kids. It's a nice family neighborhood that she's living in, and Paige is kind of just the neighborhood wacko. She does very, very strange things because she's high most of the time in one form or another, whether it's alcohol or medications. She will do totally strange things like knock on neighbors' doors and ask if she can use their bathroom. But when they let her in, she'll go through their medicine cabinets and steal medications. I would imagine that the police were called by the neighbors multiple times. I remember far into the future here that the neighbors would be like, well, the police were over there all the time. So one way or another, whether it was mom calling the police or a neighbor calling the police were on a first name basis with Paige and with my mom pretty quickly in this new neighborhood. At this point, mom has managed to have Paige signed up to have some psychiatric care. Paige was going to doctors because I would drive her there myself sometimes, just so mom didn't have to deal with everything at all times. They would prescribe medications for Paige. And then eventually they start catching on to the fact that Paige is doctor shopping. And so her doctors start to fire her as a patient. So then she'll have to go find a new doctor so she can get new prescriptions. And then she's got a drug dealer she's discovered in the neighborhood. It's just one thing after another, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Mom did get her into rehab a couple of times through something for lower income people who have addiction issues. Your stay might be anywhere from 3 days to 3 months. In Paige's case, she always made sure that it was 3 days or less if she could manage it, because she would call my mother and talk about how gross the place was and how awful and how they're mean to her, and relentlessly harassing my mother until my mother would go and pick her up each time. So yeah, she's getting into rehab, but she's not actually doing any steps. She's not actually staying. Mom is doing anything and everything she can think of, but if you've got somebody who is going to do their best not to conform and not to manage their problems, then it's an uphill battle that she was losing badly. So there comes a time where mom calls me on like a Sunday evening at 10 o'clock at night. And my mother is one of those people who she feels like it's rude to call anybody after 8 p.m. So I knew by her calling at that hour that it was bad. She asked that my husband and I come over and help because Paige is hitting her and she can't get her to stop hitting her. So I look at my husband. We're just watching a movie in the living room. Kids are in bed. My in-laws are over. They can stay with the kids until we can get back. So my husband and I drive over, get there as quick as we can. We walk in and Paige has a butcher knife and she is stabbing this countertop over and over again. She is completely out of her mind. And my husband knew what to do because his dad was an alcoholic. So he had been through situations where he had to get him calm and settled down. So he told me he would take care of Paige and that I need to find my mom and go take care of her. So I run upstairs to mom's room, figuring she's probably there. And there's a big hole where my sister has either kicked or punched or something in the door to try to get at my mother. So I yell to my mom, "I'm here, Mom, open the door." She opens the door. She looks crazed. She's had big chunks of hair pulled out of her head. She's just hysterical. That was the first time I understood and found out that Paige had been abusing her. And I thought this was a relatively new thing. I didn't realize it was something that had been going on for ages and ages. I am trying to talk with my mom, get her calmed down, see what we can do to de-escalate Paige in that situation. Mom apparently had tried to go up to her bedroom to escape Paige, and that's when Paige yanked out a bunch of her hair. And then once Mom had the door closed and locked, she was kicking it to try to get it open. All I could basically do was just hold my mom while she was crying. I didn't know what else to do. I should have called the police. And at that time, I thought this was a one-off situation and did not want to do anything to make it worse by calling in the police. It was a situation where this has been an ongoing problem for a long time, and it just got so bad that night that Mom just couldn't do it on her own anymore. My husband manages to get the knife away from my sister. She lays on the floor in the living room and goes to sleep. Meanwhile, the countertop is all chopped up. I couldn't even tell you how many times that she had stabbed that knife into that countertop, because it must have been dozens. It just was a scary situation. And I told Mom, I said, you know, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay here with you for the night? Do you want me to try to see if we can take Paige somewhere? And then basically she just was embarrassed that she had called me and ashamed that she had drug us away from what we were doing to come and help her. And that's kind of how the whole thing ended, is Paige asleep on a floor. My husband and I just standing around, not knowing what to do, not having a clue how prevalent all of this was. Once again, it's the weekend. Mom calls me and she's like, I need you to come over. I can't get her to quit hitting me again. I called the police as I was heading over to Mom's house, that 5-minute drive or whatever it is, and just told them that my sister was abusing my mother and hurting her, and my mother called me in a panic. They had, of course, the ambulance come just in case anybody needed it. The police came right after I got there and separated Mom and I away from Paige so that they could hear what was going on from all three of us. My understanding from what Mom told me is that Paige was hitting her with a metal broom handle. And so she had bruises all up and down her arms, and she had a bruise on the side of her eye. Paige, of course, was acting completely out of her mind. So they put her in the ambulance and decided that they were going to take her for a psychiatric hold at the hospital. So I help Mom tidy up a little bit, and then I tell her, I said, you know, we probably need to get you to the hospital as well and have you checked out just to make sure that you're not really hurt by anything that she hit you with or whatever took place before I got there. So I take Mom to the hospital. We're in the ER and Paige is actually down the hall and she's screaming at the top of her lungs. Mom's first immediate reaction was, I should go down there to her. And I'm like, no, we're here to make sure that you're okay and that you're getting checked out and they're taking care of Paige. We need to take care of you. Doctor comes in, checks Mom out, says just to put some ice on the bruises and that she should feel better another day or two, take some Tylenol, that kind of thing. So we leave Paige at the hospital and I take Mom home and I decide I'm going to stay there with her all weekend and make sure that she's doing okay because I am worried that she might have a concussion. So we're back at the house. I'm starting to make dinner for Mom and I, and Paige calls. And I grab the phone from my mom. I don't want her talking to Paige. It's a break. They need to be separated. And Paige tells me, you need to come get me now because they've already released me from the psychiatric hold. And it's been maybe 4 hours. I am just baffled by the fact that they would let her go when it's supposed to be like a 72-hour hold. So I tell her, we're not coming to get you. You're not coming back here. Don't call again. Mom's not going to talk to you for a while. And of course, she kept trying to call again. She ends up getting a cab and taking it out to a hotel not too far away from where the hospital was. She does call my father and begs him to pay for the hotel, which he does. And in the meantime, I have managed to figure out how to change instant door locks on the front door and the garage door. So I changed the code to both of those so that Paige couldn't get in the house because I didn't want her coming back in. I told Mom that I was not going to leave for a couple days. I was going to stay there. I borrowed a gun from my husband and slept with it under my pillow. I had never even shot a gun before, so I had no idea what I'd be doing with it, but I knew I was going to protect my mom one way or another. She proceeded to call my mom, I think, at least six more times in the next several hours. And then finally, I just turned Mom's phone off and I put it away where Mom wouldn't be able to find it because I didn't want her answering it. Paige was not, of course, calling me because I was the person who was keeping her away from home. She's in a hotel for a couple of days. Eventually, the weekend's over. I have to go home to my kids, my husband, my job. Mom seems like she's in a better headspace. I think she's relieved she had a reprieve and she's doing better. Give her phone back. First thing that happens is Paige calls and tells Mom she wants my mom to bring her dog to her. And so my mother does this. She takes the dog to visit Paige at the hotel, and then Paige talks her into bringing her back home. And I was really, really upset and angry that Mom had let her come back. I remember talking to Mom on the phone, and I told her I don't want to get that phone call one day, and the police telling me that she's killed you. It's going to happen. And I knew in my heart right then and there that I was right. And Mom just said in this really, really small voice, "What am I supposed to do? She's my child. I can't abandon my child." In my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm your child too. But she looked at it as my sister was damaged by my father and by the end of their marriage. My sister was damaged by all those kids that she had hung out with, by all the men that had come and gone in her bed, by society. It's all just going through my head that Mom is going to choose her until she doesn't have a choice anymore. That's when I knew that things were bad and going to get worse.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
We receive notice that Paige has submitted to the Supreme Court of Kentucky that she wants a retrial. And this is maybe 2 or 3 years into her sentence. The Supreme Court hears the case, the arguments, and agrees with her. My older sister and I are stunned because the last thing anybody wants to do is go back and have to do it all again. There's all the what ifs. What if this time they find her not guilty? What if she's set free?
Thank you again to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/WCN. That's mintmobile.com/WCN. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/WCN. What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.